listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 8, Seasons and Personality. This episode is dedicated to answering one reader question, one of our favorite topics. Have you ever analyzed anyone whose season didn't match typical personality? A situation of season not conforming to the character stereotypes for the group.
And the word here to notice is stereotype. Let's do a definition of that word. A stereotype is a pattern that was recognized that identifies something that a group has in common or has been accepted to have in common, like the spunky redhead or the sunny, smiling blonde. Whether idealism or realism or something in between, the stereotype became associated with the group. Stereotype is an extreme generalization, one we've seen so often that it has become a preconception many people have. But if stereotype is really general, archetype, on the other hand, is almost the opposite by being too perfect, too narrow, an idealized representation.
Yes, let's decide on the meaning of the words. Archetypes can have quite a detailed story as part of the type, which stereotypes usually don't. And it's a story we already know, the mentor, the visionary, many examples depending on the system. Stereotypes can be negative, but archetypes never are. The mastermind and the rebel both have strong and weak points, just like real people. While the literary villain may be negative, but in archetypal systems, traits are balanced, whereas stereotypes are not. They're both shortcuts, especially if something has layers of personality, but stereotypes are extremes of imbalance, poor representations of real people, whereas archetypes are not. They're just focused on a particular aspect. Everyone's sunny or spunky at times, and we all have most or all character traits at times, which comes home, you know, in personality tests where we struggle with choosing the word that applies most and we talk to our computer. Yeah, but I'm both. I don't know which I am most. It's really so hard to know our true motivations. And then things heat up even more when some of the deeper traits get activated and rise up and push against our prime directive, our main guiding principle. The one we express when we're feeling good. I mean, everyone's a nice guy when things are going their way. What happens when they're not?
Yes. And then the whole topic of bias in self-reported behavior, choosing the one we wish we're working on, we see as socially acceptable or desirable. It makes me think of a book that I read a long time ago that it's never left me, really. It's called An Instance of the Finger Post. The author is Ian Pierce. It's a novel telling the same story, it's a mystery, through the voices of four different characters in the story, where each person tells the story from his angle. And it's just a fascinating example of just this, that when we tell our own story, we tend to tell it from the most favorable angle. And this is part of the danger of color analyzing yourself.
For color analysis, I think the best approach might actually be no talking. Not just the client's voice, but those opinions get into the analyst's head, and they're already in your head if you're being your own analyst. Either blocking those opinions or freely disagreeing with them. It's a real skill that color analysts have to practice and master, maybe one that surprises them. And 10 times harder to turn towards ourselves.
Many companies and brands use archetypal stories to keep their theme aligned, like Jeep that follows an explorer archetype. So all images, shapes, fonts, music, and logo are based on that same model. I really enjoy reading about archetypes, and there's a really interesting book. It's called The Hero and the Outlaw, How Brands Use Archetypal Stories for Consistency. And that story makes sense when all the parts connect together.
It's exactly the way our appearance holds together. When the parts we add have a way of connecting with us and each other. If I wore a dusty rose jacket with a peplum and a rounded collar, there would be seriously nothing about me for that jacket to connect with. So my visual story falls apart. It doesn't matter how articulate I might be. And it's so easy to fix. You know, there are amazing experts in both fields of color and line and style. And as always, we'll add links in the show notes. Another use of archetypes might be for writers trying to embody characters to write authentic scenes. Imagine if you were writing a conflict or a romantic scene for a character entirely different from your own, in a situation you have never been in, and holding the character together so their words sound right for them, on the deck of the Starship Enterprise or around your dinner table, Mr. Spock and Dr. McCoy would not switch lines. Picture if they did. Be like dystopia, right? You'd move away from, not towards. Not the outcome most of us want from appearance. But I'm getting away from season. Where I'm going, besides I love talking about character and archetype, is I enjoy beauty for its own sake, but at heart, I'm a beauty plus function person. So I ask, are season stereotypes of any use at all? Would color analysis be better without them? For knowing our own colors or those of strangers, I dismiss character entirely, let alone stereotype.
Yep. Let's be super clear on this. When we perform a color analysis, personality is never, ever an issue. We look at how skin reacts to drapes and nothing more. That notion of the happy, bouncy spring and the dreamy, delicate summer, or the strong, solid autumn and the glamorous, dangerous winter, you can already tell that the words are much too broad to describe any one real person. Those stereotypes, they apply on a sliding scale to any member of a season. And back in episode 7, we mentioned that the average colorings for the seasons barely exist in real life. There's nobody average out there, really. If coloring stereotypes are that flexible, those for character are even more flexible.
I'm still back here thinking about what they might be good for. I actually Googled the value of stereotypes, but I couldn't come up with any uses. And I found references to quick decision-making about how others might react in certain situations. Okay, now I get it. Back to my veterinary days, a common scenario. Young woman, 20 to 25, beautiful spring or summer coloring, brings in the boyfriend's dog. You know, one of the status power breeds. It's a Rottweiler, off-leash, collar with spikes. You can just picture this, right? I can assure you that everyone from the receptionist onwards is using stereotypic models for quick decision-making. But seasonal stereotypes are too broad, superficial, huge oversimplifications, with no purpose besides fun to think about. Is that true? Or did I just say it to see if my own ears believe it? Well, what would be some uses? Seasonal character traits did help me see myself and others. It was my first realization of, oh, nobody can help it. We're all made this way. You know, giving myself and everyone else a little more space. I had done various personality tests with career orientations, but the seasonal stereotype was my first exposure with a more personal focus. Well, since then, I've encountered more reliable and useful ones. Joran and I have linked our favorites at the end. Joran, did you have any personal experiences learning about the season stereotypes?
Well, yes, I did. I learned about my Myers-Briggs personality type before I discovered color analysis. I'm an INFJ, and that was a profound experience of understanding myself and why I am the way I am. But when reading about color analysis, I discovered that I really could recognize myself in at least some of the descriptions, your descriptions in the book, about the winter personalities.
Yeah, I agree. Once you learn about better systems, seasonal ones are more a curiosity than having any real purpose. Were they useful in any way to you, or would your experience of season and color analysis have been identical without the personality aspect?
It's a very good question, but I think it has some merit because it describes a certain look. But let me ask you in return, if we took all those landscape descriptions out of your book, wouldn't it make your season descriptions less clear? Personality is another dimension that gives us associations and brings up pictures in our heads, just like landscape descriptions do. And you have to admit, it is an important part of your book.
Yeah, I've been told the first thing people do when they have the book is they go to the beginning of each chapter and read the personality descriptions for the 12 seasons. Back to landscapes, I found landscape an excellent way of removing us, our self-image, from the equation and simply looking at a composition. And I do believe that nature creates the most beautiful and relatable color harmonies. Personality was added for fun, but I could see how it would work to create images.
And some of the personality traits are also beautiful and relatable to color harmonies if we don't take them too literally. And these associations, they don't come up for no reason. They do contain grains of truth that apply in various ways.
I imagine that aspects of character are recognized by people working in many fields, not obviously or directly related to character. Color is just the only one I'm familiar with. And dog breeds, I guess, you know, what's bred in the bone. The amount of overlap between season and other systems is small or non-existent, smaller the more one studies them. I've never done the math, but as far as I can tell, Jungian archetypes, seasons, enneagrams, Myers-Briggs, you follow no pattern or overlap. You'd find all types of each in every group of the others. For example, summer and Enneagram 9 might seem aligned, but I know plenty of folks who seek serenity and peace in every season. Many winter 9s. I know a family of 5 made up of summer, autumn, and winter types, and they're all Enneagram 3.
Well, some summers are more outgoing than others, some only in certain situations, but overall, summers tend to avoid confrontation and are usually composed and caring of the feeling of others, whether outside the situation as mediators or involved personally. Stereotypes have a grain of truth, but it doesn't apply equally to everyone.
Right. Many autumns are easygoing and make jokes. They're tranquil and they're fluid in their movements, but push some buttons to see what's really in there and they'll dig their heels in. I don't deny the associations. I'm just suggesting they be ignored. How could coloring and personality be related in the first place? Does it even make sense? Well, I could see it. The explanation, I presume with no proof, is that some of the genes that control character are located and inherited on the same chromosomes that define coloring. I could buy that. I'm not sure a geneticist would agree. Archetypal models have been really useful to me by looking at motivation and coping mechanisms and comparing myself to others. I'm an INTJ type. So I'm more this way than person A, less that than person B. Once you can compare, you can measure. Once you can measure, you got a way to understand, like classifying colors, so you don't have to juggle a swirling cloud of possibility just to choose makeup. In explaining me to myself, MBTI and Enneagram gave me self-acceptance, awareness, self-control. I use them to balance my character and make myself into someone I like better. I guess these did that too. About 8 years back in my 11-year color career, I seemed to see only true and soft summers for a while, like 12 or more in a 3-month period, where you start thinking, okay, is someone trying to tell me something? You know how you have that experience over and over, and then once you've lived it right, you're released? Season was my first exposure to balancing my character, using others to position myself, whereas the corporate tests were more finite. You're this period, you belong in research. I think summers taught me patience and kindness, the difference between kindness and weakness, which I will be practicing till they pull the curtain. So I guess stereotypes can have a purpose, but it is not in knowing our colors.
So any knowledge about color, season, or personality can give us more wisdom. Like you said, use it to balance my character and make myself into someone I like better. Love that. Two interesting and practical situations come to mind. One is that people look a certain way wearing their own colors. They come into their own. They seem taller, the neck almost elongates. If you ask, between these two colors, which head wears the crown? Everyone in the room would answer the same way. Summers in their colors look lovely, peaceful, socially competent to the highest degree, aware and allowing of everyone in the room, whereas in other colors, they can take a back seat to whatever they're wearing. And I'm wondering, Christine, do you think our listeners can sense that we're both suffering from summer envy?
Yes. Look, every season envy to some degree. It's a great point about when we wear our own colors, we look like ourselves. The static comes off. Our video clears of the noise when we were guessing at colors, and the audio is singing one song instead of three at the same time. Well, lots of people, though, are peaceful and socially competent in any season. I mean, you're and you certainly are, but it may not be what comes across most obviously when you wear your colors. The closest that I see is when you wear your light neutrals, which may be a strategic clue to use at a later date. And let's talk about Joran like she's not here.
Hey, I heard that.
It may not be what I associate most with hanging out with you, or someone meeting you at a party when you're happy and relaxed might expect foremost. To me, you look like having fun on incredibly exciting adventures, or your own self-description of rock chick meets Arctic explorer. Can you often predict how far apart character extremes will be when you meet someone? In the back of your mind, you think, well, what kind of ride are we in for? Do I want to go shopping with them? Would I hire them? And it's there before we add apparel. Decoration just makes it clearer, makes us more unique. Part of this is wrapped up in visual information, but a lot of other cues too.
Like how we speak, body language, even body shape and rhythm.
You know, I ask myself, how likely is this person to stay near an emotional baseline and be protective of that baseline, not venture too far from comfortable territory, something I don't see when I look at Joran. Summers most often. Or will the ups be higher and the lows lower, with willingness to take things further? How at ease would they be at the center of a storm and taking everyone else with them? If I have to suffer, so does everybody else. More often winters. Could be anybody. It's me in certain situations. Will they diffuse conflict? Will they move towards it? Between the girl and the Rottweiler, you know which is which. Yeah. Where are the lovers and the fighters, the builders and the party people?
Well, watch a family interact. They push buttons the best, and it's because they installed them after all, and they've had years of practice.
They sure did. And until we know people pretty well, we can mistake some traits for others. The sweetness of a spring can seem like the kindness of a summer.
And the solidity of autumn can seem like the winter's hardness. It's like the difference of earth to ice or wood to platinum. Winters may think they're earthy, but that's not quite it.
No, wood is too soft for winters, which is something interesting to think about at a later time. The season connection just doesn't dive down into the details so much. Back to Joran's point of looking a certain way in our harmonious colors. During an analysis with a man, I might ask myself, what kind of leader is he? If you were given photographs of him in all these colors, you were casting for an ad, what story could he tell? What story could he sell? Where is he himself? Would he be the gentleman, the charmer, the tower of strength, the glamour guy? In which colors would he be credible, plausible, even to some extent audible? Switching places doesn't work so well. The video and the audio, they get in each other's way. Casting the charmer, often a spring, as the gentleman, often a summer, it rings false. He'd wink too often. Springs are themselves making goofy jokes and getting ideas out of the blue. Not the first things you typically notice about summer. We pick it up right away. We really wear our own skin best. We can't turn off visual information unless we meet people blindfolded, and much of that early information is locked up in color. Our native colors, those we add, ideally, they're the same. A zebra in baby blue stripes? Not credible, not plausible. Nobody's really listening. You don't expect it to quack. It could speak English. We wouldn't believe a word. Picture a herd of them. I mean, talk about dystopian. This string gets twanged in the back of our mind and you're like, whoa, 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 they've gone out of character. And it's harder to decide if we believe them or not. It's a typical clue, eh? In mystery novels, keep an eye on this one. They'd never look like this. They'd never say that. They'd never do whatever. You know not to trust them. A lot of politicians on screens these days, right? Probably didn't expect it when they accepted their posts. And you can look at them or you can listen to them, but it's hard to do both at the same time. And the fix is so simple. All they needed to know was their colors. A spring and autumn colors looks like she's wearing wood, according to one student. People say the best things. A summer draping model saw herself in autumn colors and she said, I look like I'm wearing food. But an autumn woman in her own colors looks like she operates a chain of 5-star restaurants. We ring true in our season colors. Autumn will come across as his or her kind of leader, or any kind of leader, wearing any other season colors. Harrison Ford in a tux on a red carpet, the guy looks uncomfortable. His collar's too tight. Someone made him go out in public in a costume. And I'm like, he can't get out of there fast enough. Golf wear colors, I can't even hold the picture in my head. It's like he's wearing candy. He's not in his element. On a horse in the woods, Indiana Jones, he's relaxed, he's effective, and you know he's going to save the day. He belongs in his own story. He's a leader we believe in. And again, it has no bearing on color analysis result on season, none, zero. We have better ways of knowing colors. And our clients are strangers to us after all. Their ways of moving through life situations are unknown to us.
Another interesting situation is how we perceive ourselves in terms of character and the effect on the colors that we choose. An example might be a soft-spoken dark autumn or someone who wants to appear that way to embody their version of attractive, or what someone in their life might find attractive, or to override an aspect of themselves they dislike. They dress as soft autumns, and this is fine. At least they're in the right group and feeling well in their clothing. Clients often make these small adjustments on their own once they understand how.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is another really good use of stereotype. The value here being in knowing to pay no mind to the stereotype of character, but also of color itself, that psychology that colors get tagged with. A woman once said to me that coolness and color felt like refinement and femininity, which did not feel like her, too traditional, too conformist, so she avoided those colors. But emotion, memories, impressions, perceptions, they get in the way of fact. With 9 and 10, 10 and 10 color analysis sessions, we're going to have that moment of, and yet, despite all that, peeling away all of that, here we are. How you actually look in cool and warm color. So then we look back on our beliefs and we wonder where they came from in the first place. I'd like to say color's everything, but it's not. Take any of those words, refinement, conformist. They can be expressed in many ways with color, different colors depending on the coloring of the person wearing them, and many ways besides color. Spring-colored people express strength differently from winter-colored people. Springs don't appear to be wearing candy colors. That's everybody else wearing spring's colors. Springs look gorgeous, natural. The person looks so full of life and joy. And their clothes and makeup do too. True spring, wearing bright spring colors. Okay, getting a little more candy now. They went past their ceiling. Still likely, though, better than autumn, winter, or summer clothing colors for them. Here's another example. A person whose primary self-perception, her story to herself, and we all got one, is the adventurous, optimistic, active, true summer who chooses bold color. Someone said, "That red is so you. You are such a firecracker." And the seed was planted. Her channel is now tuned to feedback, to water the seed, because that belief seems right, confirms a self-identity she recognizes and likes. And then one day, she meets a color analyst who says, "Well, that red may describe your fun-loving side, but it downright defeats other essential parts of you in your coloring as well as your character."
Or style or line analyst might say, "That firecracker has nothing to do with your coloring. It's coming from your lines," in the sense that this woman might be able to wear a short leather skirt at the age of 60 with zippers all over and still look great. There are better ways to use style to come across as energetic and powerful. If you're trying to understand your own colors, keep your lines and shapes separate from your colors, just like you would keep your colors and MBTI type separate from each other. Yeah. So many people use black to feel assertive, especially those women who are in male-dominated professions. This is a way to give an impression of strength, I guess. And that can be really detrimental if you're a light season. So let's wind up and get back to the question at hand, which was, do we ever analyze people whose colors don't match the season's personality stereotype? Yep, every client is that way to some degree, and every client might have character traits from another season. We all have the personality traits of every season to a certain extent. The character stereotypes of each season are too broad to describe a real-life person, and certainly not in every situation. Color should match your season, not your personality. Back to the client's original question again, have we ever met people whose personality doesn't match season character types? Stereotypes? Yes, at least in some aspects, which can seem quite contradictory. You can find some of your personality traits in your season's description. And I strongly recommend reading Christine's book and not only the personality bits. But just don't think that you can find your season from your personality.
This brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to spending time with you in the next episode in 2 weeks' time.